Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Brake.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome.
I have to say something.
Okay.
I listen to Conan O'Brien's podcast, which I love a lot. Mm-hmm. And today, his whole intro, he got like existential about like how he should be saying like, welcome to the podcast. Cause he starts out really businesslike, but he's not at all. Like, he's very goofy. And I, even though we've been doing this for like 150, maybe 200 episodes, I don't know. I still haven't like figured out or nailed down the way I want to enter this podcast.
I mean, I think we have our first four lines down. And then from there, we never really quite know if we're going into Patreon or if we're telling a quick story or if we're like welcoming people or like spoiler podcast. Yeah, we're a little all over the board there. But I think it's kind of our personalities. And so it's organized chaos. I think it's what makes the most sense.
That's perfect. I like it. Well, I guess we'll be business first today. If you would like to support the podcast and be more than just a casual listener, you can go to patreon.com/theoncallroom where you can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. We have a bunch of different really cool bonuses for being one of those. Like, you get bonus episodes once a month. You get access to our private Facebook group. We sometimes have co-hosts that could be you. We have a monthly Zoom hangout, which we need to schedule. And that's always probably my favorite of all of the things that we do. We also do post-op, which is normally when we call time of death, the episode ends. If you are listening on the Patreon app and you're a $10 patron, you get like a bonus 10 minutes where sometimes we talk about the plot, sometimes we talk about our lives. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit more in depth about the situation with Owen's mom and her hot-to-trot paramedic boyfriend or firefighter? Mm-hmm. Firefighter. If you want to hear our thoughts on that.
I wrote he was a paramedic, but I think you're right. He's a firefighter.
I remember, looking at his thing, it said fire, like on his badge. Because I then went into the conversation with Jake of why are your outfits not as cool as his?
Yeah, that's a great question.
So we'll talk about that. Stick around for that. What else, Brie?
A great way to support us is to rate and review the podcast anywhere that you listen. We're currently at 5 scalpels on Apple Podcasts. I wanted to read a review tonight. So leave a review because you might hear it on the podcast. This one is from Anne234234, and it says, always something to look .. So I think it was maybe forward to, but it could also just be always something to look faux.
And it's end of the review.
Yeah. It says, I love this podcast. It's funny and interesting without glossing over any details, which I like. It's nice to have a show that analyzes a lot of the different characters and storylines. I also like getting to know patrons who are guests in the episodes. I always look forward to new episodes every week so I can listen along. Thank you guys for being great hosts.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I also feel that because like today, like Mondays, I get Armchair Expert, I get Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and I get Smartless. Like, you know, they release their episodes on Mondays. So I'm always like, yes, I have so many to listen to, but I'm always sad when they're done. Like today I actually listened to all three of those. So now I'm like, fuck, like, what am I going to listen to now?
Yeah. Mondays are a good day for podcasts. Also, so are Wednesdays. Ours comes out on Wednesday, so you're welcome.
Heck yeah. And if you don't know what you're listening to and you're wondering why we haven't told you yet, sorry. This is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We deep dive every episode. We're currently in season 11, episodes 17 and 18. We do talk about the entire series as a whole, so if you haven't watched the whole thing, be warned for spoilers. We definitely don't give you warning for them. So that's your warning. Recommend watching the show first and then coming back and having a listen. Also, I felt like I wanted to do these monthly updates with my mom, but she is already into season six, the shooting finale. Yes.
Yeah.
She already watched that. So she's in season 7.
Wow. She is just pushing through, doing work.
Yeah. And she said she still doesn't really like Mark, which I can't understand.
Well, I feel like then she's never really going to like him, I don't think.
Because I know. I was like, don't you like Lexi and him together? And she's like, I mean, it was fine. And I was like, no.
You did fine, Mom. God. Well, you know, tomato, tomato, I guess.
Is the plane crash season 7 finale?
No, I think that's season 8.
Okay.
Season 7 is hard.
Is it the one I never remember?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Like Meredith and is it Zola?
Oh, I think it might be Zola. Yeah. Is it the trial? Yeah. Like the Alzheimer's trial? I think you're right.
Yeah. So I am excited for her to get even more devastated. I told her she needs to appreciate at least I was like, you know, there's 17 seasons. And like, I would say Golden Grays, especially in doing this rewatch, to me is like through season 11. I think after that, there's a little dip and then it kind of comes back. So I told her, especially because like she's in love with Derek. She does not know Derek dies.
I can't believe that. How that and so has not been spoiled for her.
I know. So I just keep telling her she needs to cherish the episodes because I know since she's such a Derek fan, like she's not going to be happy afterwards.
I think she's probably going to end up having to take a break after season 11. I have a feeling she'll be like, yeah, that was really devastating and I need to step back and assess my life and my emotions before I jump back into Grey's Anatomy, which I understand, you know, sometimes you got to do that. Speaking of Grey's Anatomy, this podcast, the new episode comes out this week, which it will already have come out by the time this episode airs, but thoughts, feelings, what do you think?
Should we make predictions?
I mean, I don't really even, I feel like I should go back and watch the last episode because what was that, November?
For sure.
Yeah. Like I, yeah. She's like, Meredith collapsed, right? And like, she's about to go on event or she did go on event.
Yeah. So here's my, I'm going to ask you 3 rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Okay. So just like, don't like think too hard. Okay. Does Karasik die?
Yes.
Okay. Who comes to the beach next?
Alice.
Oh, Ellis. I said Alex and said it weird. And lastly, does Meredith live?
Yes.
Okay, nice, great.
Okay, cool.
It's wonderful. I hope it's Ellis too. That would be the most meaningful somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. What if she came there and she was like, I never liked you, Derek.
Well, then, I mean, she'd be speaking her truth. That is what she would be doing.
I'm excited. I'm a little bummed with myself. I don't know what I was thinking, but I do some stuff with this nonprofit on Thursday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. So I won't ever be able to watch it live.
Yeah. And luckily my class gets out like right before 9 o'clock. So I will
be able to just... Is that when it's on at 9?
Yeah. So I'll be able to like run downstairs and turn it on.
I can watch it at 10. Like I can, cause I can like record it on my, you know, YouTube TV and then watch it immediately, which I guess would be fine. But I just am like, sad. I really enjoyed I liked doing our recap episodes immediately after, and B, I really liked being a part of our Facebook group, which another push, if you aren't a patron, I would say while the current season is airing, it's really fun to have people to talk about versus just your friends who like don't want to hear it.
Yeah. And like, it's like live, it's on, you know, people are responding to it while they're watching it. So it's been really fun to be a part of that. Sure. Hey, Abby, you had a birthday. How was it?
I did. I'm 32. It was honestly really wonderful. I still am kind of in shock. I felt really loved all day. And I sometimes worry that like, do I do that enough on other people's birthday? Cause I'm not like, actually, you know, I do like birthdays. Like I like my birthday week. I like the birthday. I definitely have a sad day the day after, like that it's over. But it's like, it is nice to have a day where people celebrate you. And I don't think that's like selfish to say. And also I just like between the cards and flowers and just lovely gifts and phone calls and messages. Like, it's a really, especially from all of you who wrote in the Instagram page that like Bree put that little message out. That was really special. And I don't know, it was, I just felt really loved. And I know I shouldn't like be surprised by that, but I always am. You like, I don't know. It's a weird feeling.
It is a weird feeling to know that there are so many people across the world or the country or whatever that like know you, or even people who don't know you super well that are still reaching out, wishing you well wishes on your special day. It's a really nice feeling. And I'm happy that you felt loved because you deserve it.
Yeah, I felt really loved, and Bree really triggered me. She got me this really beautiful artwork in this cute little frame, and it's these like two little people. I wouldn't call it a comic, but it's like a drawing. And it says, "It's okay to ask for help." Is that what it says? Is that the sentence?
Yeah.
And it's like a little girl holding an umbrella over another person when there's rain. And I was like, rude. But it's so sweet, and I need to find the perfect spot for it where maybe that I don't see it every minute of every day because it will make me want to cry in a good way, but where I like brush past it at least once a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can just touch base with yourself about like, oh, have I asked for help today? Did I need help today?
It's okay. It's really special. And I just love it. And I got like so many cute little candles and like scented matches and jewelry. And I just felt like showered with love. And I ate Jet's pizza, and Jake got a $50 sheet pan of tiramisu from Olive Garden, which I asked for tiramisu thinking I would get one piece and like everyone else would get whatever. Like I would just get tiramisu because tiramisu is not like easy to make. And it was the biggest sheet cake of tiramisu I've ever seen. It was fucking delicious. There's really only one piece left, which is surprising to me. And I did feel bad that there were not as many gluten-free options at my house and that we had to order your pizza from somewhere else. It made me sad.
Oh, it's fine. It's like it's my life now, and it's okay. Like it really doesn't faze me at all. And you know, I can always be responsible for myself. I mean, you told me beforehand, hey, there's this dessert tonight and it's not gluten-free. So if I had wanted to bring my own dessert, I could have, and it's fine.
I also appreciate your fiance because he watched me show him my island on Animal Crossings. And it was very loud though. And no one would, like, I couldn't focus. So I was kept getting distracted. And also we all played Mario Kart, which was fun.
We watched Pen 15. We all wore pajamas.
Yeah, it was a pajama party, which I do not regret. That to me was the best decision because usually around midnight or like 11, I get uncomfortable. And that makes me want to go home and go to bed. And like, I literally think I stayed up later because I was comfortable.
Yeah, it was the best idea. I only ever want to have pajama parties now. It was great.
So funny. It was like a birth. I think I had a birthday party like that in seventh grade. Like that's what it was.
It was a seventh grade birthday party. I put my hair in little buns.
Like, oh, they were so cute. She looked like Emma Bunton.
Like 90s buns because we were in, you know, sixth grade hanging out together, but this time drinking wine. So.
And we watched I wasn't hungover, but I did have a major, well, okay. Like I guess I was hungover. I had a headache. Like I didn't feel anything else. And that's because I drank white wine all night.
Oh, I felt fine the next day.
That's good. I just had a hangover. I don't know. I couldn't keep track of my wine glass. Like I kept setting it down. So then I just don't know how much I drank at all. Like I didn't even feel drunk at the end of the night, but I think I could have had a headache from just the fact that I had tiramisu, Jet's pizza, and white wine. And like a cupcake for lunch. Like, and I had the massage. So I don't know if that like gave me a headache. You know, like
And if you didn't have like enough water.
But I did get an IV from Jake. So it's like I didn't drink a lot of water, but I did get hydrated. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a sore subject.
We won't talk about it. I still feel bad. Anyways, it's great. 32 is great. I'm don't really want to keep going. Like I do want to keep going, but I wish the numbers could just, okay. I wish numbers, like it was just like, oh, you're a year older. We're not keeping track.
Yeah. Ooh, I want to say, and I don't want to get like political. No, I do want to. And I don't even think this is political, but
Meghan Markle.
I watched the interview last night.
I'm like a quarter of the way through. It's, I'm about halfway through. I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah. Just want to say, like, really respect her for, like,
oh yeah,
doing what she had to do, living her truth, like, you know, and then telling people about it. And yeah, so, and I thought it was a great interview. I love Oprah. So
she's an incredible interviewer. Her follow-up questions to get, like, this, you know, Megan would answer the question, but then she'd be like, who's they? You know, like, who is, like, oh, just so good.
Yeah, maybe better than Terry Gross.
Yeah. Sometimes Terry Gross is kind of judgmental.
She can be. Dude, that, like,
the Lizzo one was really hit me the wrong way.
Yeah, Lizzo. I haven't listened to her, like, I think since that one, honestly.
It really upset me, yeah.
Yeah, and then she also, like, really pissed off Christina Applegate. I don't know if you listened to that one, but it was,
ooh,
like,
I didn't.
Very uncomfortable to listen to. I almost didn't finish it because I was like, oh, that's sour. So, yeah, she was at her, like, table of people that I would have for dinner, and I don't know if I want her there anymore.
I really like her voice. Oh yeah. Like, I like Terry Gross's interview voice. And she is a good interviewer, but I just feel like she hasn't quite, I'm not using the term woke, but I mean, like, I just feel like she hasn't quite grasped onto some modern ideas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And hopefully maybe she will, but I mean, she's obviously brilliant and, like, an incredible interviewer, but yeah, I think she has some blind spots that she needs to, like, own and be more aware of.
As we all do.
Yeah. I'm sure we have many of them that people are calling out to us on this podcast.
Also, Oprah looked incredible, and so did Megan. And that backdrop, like, whoever's house they were at, just looked gorgeous. And I was like, why don't I live in California? That's all I kept thinking.
Do you think it was Oprah's? Because Oprah does interviews at her house.
She said it wasn't. She said they both live near each other, but it's a friend's house in between, and they had this beautiful pergola, and that's why they used it. So I don't know whose it was. Also, I would say, funny, wow, my brain just broke. Wait, I need to get this thought back. We're Oprah, the space, California. Oh yeah. In Armchair Expert today, which I was so pleased to see, it was Rupert Grint who plays Ron Weasley. I was so freaking excited. He just, like, isn't on the internet. So it's nice to, like, get an interview from him, you know? Mm-hmm. So sweet, so funny. But Monica is talking in the beginning of the episode about how the other day she had, like, seasonal, like, she felt her, like, sad, like, seasonal affective disorder. And because it was, like, gloomy in California for a day. And I was like, I was about to be like, I can't diss this because I'm sure it is real for people who, like,
absolutely.
Like, I know, but, like, I want to be like, how do we survive in Michigan then? I barely survive, but I do. And, like, we have months of that. They have, like, a day and they can't handle it.
I know. And I'm sure, like, I'm not really saying, like, fuck off, Monica, because, like, truly it is a real, like, mental health is a real thing. And and it's everyone's own personal journey, but, like, I had it real bad this year. And in fact, my therapist, I was talking to my therapist about it, like, 3 weeks ago. And he was like, you know, like, the way to combat that, right? And I was like, I don't know, like, sunshine or, like, meds, what? And he was like, go outside and do, like, winter activities. And I was like, fuck you, I'm not doing that. And he was like, go cross country skiing or go sledding. And I was like, I'll see you in the spring, man. Like, no, that is, I refuse. I'm too cold. I don't like it. I don't like sports in general. And then add it in the winter. Yeah. Absolutely not. No, thank you.
I do think you would enjoy if you had a dog, like, walking a dog. That is the one winter thing that, like, it does help, even though I don't want to do it. But when I come back, I always do feel better, which annoys me. Every time I'm like, oh, they're fucking right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. But I don't want to go cross country skiing. I did it in seventh grade. It didn't go well. I don't want to do it again. So that's.
Could have been the one to take you.
I mean, it's fine. I just don't like it. It's okay to not like things.
No, it absolutely is. The first time I went, me and my friend were going up a tiny hill, you know, with, like, your legs, like, out, like, pizza shaped or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I slipped in between her legs because I was in front of her and it was like a tunnel of children just falling. I was very embarrassed.
I think that was my bad experience was like, I couldn't get up this small. Yep. I couldn't get up this small hill. And I was like, you know what? It's not, I could be doing so many other things.
I wonder if you were at Pigeon Creek, because literally to get on the trail, there is like a small steep uphill and it is the hardest part of the whole thing. Why that's at the beginning, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, he was like, you and John should go. There's like these beautiful twinkle lights at night. And I was like, going out at night in the winter, like it's another level of like, I just don't think I can handle that. But yeah, I did listen. I did listen to the interview today and I kind of felt like Rupert like didn't have much to say.
I don't think he does. Cause I think he's a very simple man.
Yeah. Like, it just, yeah.
He's like, if he just, I really just feel like he is someone who is just content with his life. Just did it, doesn't have a lot of problems. I liked learning about his farm though. I didn't know that. I knew he bought an ice cream truck and a hovercraft. I did know that fact. So that was fun.
Yeah. But even just like, I felt like they'd ask him a question and he'd just be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, but this is your life. How do you not know these answers to your own life? It just like, it was a lovely interview, but it was definitely one of those that I was like, I don't know if it was really worth my time listening to this because I don't know that I got anything from it. But shoot, now my brain broke. The new show he's in sounds really good.
Yeah, it's creepy but good.
Yeah, you watched it?
No, but I would like to. I have a lot of things on my watch list right now. I'm going to do Schitt's Creek spoilers for the next minute. So if you don't want to hear that, skip through. I'm going to be fast. I saw the episode when at the singles event, Ted sits in front of Alexis and they kiss. So good. Very excited about that. I also saw David sing that song to Patrick. Why can't I think of the song?
Want to say you're simply the best?
That's the song.
Is it?
I saw that, which was precious. I just saw a Christmas episode where they all surprised Johnny with a Christmas party. And I also love that Jocelyn named their child. Something Moira Schitt. What's the first name? It sounds like Roland Moira Schitt, which sounds like rolled in more shit. It's so good. Even like Roland, I love as a character now, you know, it's just like, you really become attached to all of them. So anyways, that's all I keep waiting for like something really bad to happen. Like even when Patrick and David kind of like broke up for like a week or so, I was like, oh no, it's going to be like a Rachel and,
Ross
thing. It's going to drag on forever. And I was so glad it didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, just let me be happy. And that's what the field shows like it's doing for me. It's letting me be happy.
Yeah. What season are you in?
4.
There's 6?
Yeah. 7. I'm like halfway through 6, season 4.
Okay. Oh, I wish I was there with you watching it for the first time. Oh, so jealous.
So special. Yeah. But anyways, okay. It's already been 23 minutes. We should probably get into Grays. Yes?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, everyone, turn your pages to season 11, episodes 17 and 18, With or Without You and When I Grow Up.
With or Without You. Right?
That was beautiful.
You too.
You either just blew out the microphone or something happened. Okay, I'll read the first one. I'm reading short summary first. Meredith, rattled by the latest events, tries to figure out what to do about Derek. Meanwhile, Owen is shocked when his mother is admitted to the hospital.
A school field trip to the hospital takes a dramatic turn when the kids witness 2 injured cops enter the emergency room. Meanwhile, Stephanie sets her eyes on one of the chaperones. Callie operates on the leg of the police captain, and Amelia must face her feelings for Owen.
And the first monologue, read by Meredith Grey. There's this thing I used to do when I was a kid to my mother's VCR. I'd take it apart piece by piece, then put it back together again. But inevitably, there was always a piece or two left over. Something I was just going to say, VCRs are precious in my household. Shout out to Jade, our moderator, who mailed me one for my brother. Oh my God, I should do a plug for VCRs on the podcast.
Dude, you should.
I'll do it after we do this episode. Okay, so something I didn't quite know what to do with. So what did you do with that piece? Do you try to fit it back in? Do you try to make it work? Or do you decide you can live without that missing piece? When we go without certain things long enough, it's easy to forget just how much we need them. We forget what we had once. We forget what it's like to live with a thing, not that we need, that we want. That's why it's so important for us to remind ourselves, for us to remember, just because we can live without something, it doesn't mean we have to.
Picture the life you dreamed of living, the person you pictured being with. Picture the job you dreamed you'd have. Are you living the life you envisioned for yourself? Are you who you wanted to be when you grew up? Open your eyes. Take a good look around you. How's the view? Do you like what you see? Think back again to when you were little. Are you living the life you pictured for yourself? Or are you still dreaming of something even bigger? Meredith Gray. Mm.
All right. Shotgun workup. We have Danny, biliary atresia, chronic liver rejection, cholangitis. Evelyn Hunt, head laceration, mild head contusion, abdominal aortic aneurysm, sentinel bleed. Andrea, foreign body and sinus cavity. Brett Gibson, gunshot wounds, stroke, brain death. Peter Gibson, gunshot wounds, traumatic arrest, brain death. Dan Pruitt, gunshot wound, and Jared, gunshot wound, liver injury.
And then for rounds, we have Derek is back in the picture. We learn about what was going on in DC. And then, kind of what's going on with him and Meredith. Then we have Amelia and Owen and their relationship, what's going on. And then Owen's mom's situation, which we're going to talk more about like in post-op. Then we have Stephanie Edwards needing some trauma time. And she also is on the dating apps. and then we have Alex and Meredith and their little friendship moment. And then we're going to talk probably at length about the parasite. And finally, we have Jackson and the Plastics Posse.
And honestly, like most of what we're going to talk about today, I feel like is Derek and maybe a little bit of Amelia and Owen. Everything else was like pretty small. Mm-hmm. And I would say for the most part, Bree and I didn't love these episodes. Besides the Derek thing, there's not a lot that like drives the story forward. It's a lot of like, I kind of have a note in here that I'm not a big fan of the episodes that just have a bunch of traumas because it feels like you don't have time to get attached as much. And it just, I don't know. It just feels like this feels like the second episode, which I mean, granted, like the story with the cops who were shot and who, like, you know, donated their organs, everything like that was touching and everything, also very predictable, but it like didn't do anything for the rest of the characters, in my opinion. So it just feels like a waste of an episode.
Yeah. I mean, these are to me filler episodes. They're like mm-hmm. two episodes. Like the biggest thing I think is to push like, to make things okay with Meredith and Derek before yeah. we lose him, like, and to bring him back into the picture. Like that was really the only purpose I like felt for these yeah. episodes. So.
Which doesn't that feel rushed? It feels like how suddenly everything is okay. Well, I know we're going to get into this. I don't mean to be skipping, but like we've spent an entire season of them growing apart.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I still don't quite understand why they did this, but we'll get into it. Sorry, I'm skipping ahead. Let's do first notes.
Okay, mine is Derek is going through this whole story again and again. Did he cheat? Didn't he? I don't think he did.
Yep. And I just wrote wrong. I just wrote the note. So Meredith says to, this is like after the little thing where we see Renee, the research fellow or whatever. But when Meredith and Derek are talking, she says, like, why don't you spend the day with the kids? They really miss you. She never said, we really miss you. Uh-huh. Like, I thought that was really interesting. Like, it's like they, you know, I don't know. I was probably reading into it, but let's just dive into the Derek thing.
No, I don't think you were reading into it. I think that's a good point. Also, too, he should want to hang out with his kids all day because
no shit.
He has been away from them for so long.
Yeah. So we get to see, which is kind of cool. I didn't really remember this. We get to see Derek in action in his job in DC. And right away, you know, he's got like a team of, I don't think they're interns, they're just like researchers or whatever. And he's asking them questions, not even like looking at them. And this one woman answers correctly. And doesn't he say, does he say, how are you? And she's like, really good. You know, like whatever. And he's like, no, no, no. I mean, in your research, like,
yeah,
he like right away, the balance is like, she thinks he's interested in him sort of, or there's whatever. Her name is Renee. And we find out that Renee has this specific, her sister has autism and she's doing specific research. She wants to cure autism, which like, wow, please do. And so I just think like right away though, Derek doesn't realize the power that he has in his voice and his eyes and his dreamy hair. Like I really do think in the beginning, he's just unaware that by making eye contact with this woman and like, I don't know, like, I don't think his purpose was to like flirt with her at first, but he just, she assumes he is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think they... I have, so this is Renee, must be important. And then I said, okay, flirty eyes. And I can't remember if I was talking about Renee or Derek. And I think I was talking about Derek. Like, I feel a little bit different. And maybe that's just Derek's vibe always is just, but even the way he like talks to her throughout this episode and he's yes. like, you know, like very soft spoken and like, you like you're at the breaking point of your research.
Yeah, when she's smashing the cups.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, you're being more than a boss. You are being, I kind of feel like what you were to Meredith.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel yet because I have a note that says, Derek is being a good teacher, but she is interpreting it as more. And then I said, he looks... Oh, and then there's a moment though, where I feel like he looks at the way she is looking at him and realizes that like, oh, you know, like this is more than just that. I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't think either. Well, I do think Derek is to blame. he never straight up said he had a wife. But I also just think he's cocky and like doesn't realize that I don't know.
Well, I think too, like at the one part, so like she throws her mug in the sink and mm-hmm. he's like, you're at the point, you're almost to this breakthrough, and like that's why it sucks and whatever. But then he ends up calling her at 1 a.m.
That's where the line crosses to me.
Yeah, I'm like, that seems super inappropriate. Like if my boss, about like a research thing, you know, like it's not like she got paged and was on call to like come into the hospital. So like if my boss did that, like that is crossing a line that I think is, I think it shows like definitely that he cares about her research, but also like, I don't know. He could have told her at 6 a.m. the next day.
Right. I also think he enjoyed having the attention. Like Meredith hasn't been treating him like that, you know, like he's God essentially. And I think this Renee girl is like enamored by him. And I think that that attention, like he knew if she called him, if he called her in the middle of the night, she would say yes and come in. Do you know what I mean? Like and so I think that he like probably misses having like a woman look at him that way. And which again makes him a little formidable, like that he like, who knows, I'm putting words in his mouth, but that he misses like Meredith thinking that he is just this all amazing, all encompassing human, and versus the Meredith we have now realizes that she is just as amazing and all encompassing. And I said, also he like holds her hand at some point. And I said, he's setting bad messages, sending, like, he's definitely like setting the wrong tone. And then I never understand, I guess I've never been in a position where like, you know, like Renee, after they have this breakthrough, Renee's like, you're amazing, I could kiss you. And then he says, it's getting late, I should go. They still just stand there and make eye contact and then eventually kiss. And I just like when people, like he didn't move. He like let her kiss him and then kissed her back. And I just don't understand I don't know. I don't understand how you put your, like he said, I have to go. Why didn't he turn around?
Right. Exactly. Like why stay in that space? Like clearly right. you were trying to see what was going to happen. Yeah. Or you like partially maybe wanted it to happen. Okay. Question. Do you consider that cheating?
I mean, I feel like I can talk about this because it's not actually my situation and I've never been in that situation. So this is very, I just want to premise, this is very theoretical or rhetorical. It's rhetorical. Like I, who knows if I'm actually in the position, I probably murder my husband. But in, if I like part of me thinks it definitely is cheating, but I do think it's something that can be fixed and built upon. Like the way he comes home and they talk, like I don't believe that it would be an end all, but I think it would be a long ass time before trust. You know what I mean? Like trust would have to be completely rebuilt from scratch.
Sure.
So yes, it's cheating. I don't think it's unforgivable.
Interesting.
But I do think it's cheating and I hope it never happens to me. And I would definitely make that person sleep on the floor with rats for about 6 months before they were allowed back in. But who knows? I mean, I know a couple of people who have had a situation like that, who have worked through it and come out in like, you know, really rediscovering things about themselves and like choosing to grow together. I don't think it's always possible and I don't think it's always the right choice, but totally. I do think it's the right choice for Meredith and Derek. Like I do believe that even though he did it, he loves Meredith. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I don't think, you know, that if there's like infidelity in a relationship that means, like you said, like it's always the right choice to end it or it's never or to stay. Like it depends right. on the couple and it's so circumstantial and like whether or not the two people want to put in the work together to figure
That's,
out
yes.
why this happened in the first place and then like move through that together as a unit, you know, and do the personal work alone too. And so and it does seem like, you know, Derek recognizes like immediately, I mean, he leaves his phone and his keys because how did the fuck did he get to the airport then if he didn't have his keys?
Who knows these days?
These days. I just, whatever, that's a technical thing, but clearly he was so like, oh shit, this is not like, it made him, I think, snap into reality. Like, what am I doing? Why am I here? Why am I in D.C. like kissing this woman in the lab, in the research lab, when I could be home with my wife and my family and my kids?
Yeah. And there was a lot of flashbacks. I don't even know if they're flashbacks, but like whether it was showing Meredith or Derek or both of them having these thoughts of like their whole relationship as a whole, lots of just like quick rapid fire moments, not even with words, which I think is probably a real thing that when you do commit infidelity, you probably, and if you regret it, I would say you probably start reminiscing on it. Like, you know what I mean? You have all of these thoughts of all of these like times and moments. He says to Renee after he pushes her away, says, I don't want anything, something like, I have a wife. I didn't get to write it all down. I don't want anything other than what I have with her. I have to go right now. I have to go. I really just like, again, I am no marriage coach. I am no anything, but I like what you said. I think what made this story a little bit unbelievable is that like how quickly Meredith forgave him and they were back to normal and happy, because I think that in order for like you, a couple to move on from that, I feel like you, the person like Meredith would have to A, like she did, completely forgive, but he would also have to like you can't hold grudges if you're choosing to move forward. You know what I mean?
Right.
Cause you can't have that ammo to throw against them later.
Yeah. And the thing is like, this is the one thing that like frustrated me about this storyline is I think maybe how fast it moved. And I understand for writing's sake. Okay. But when he calls Post-it on her.
Yes. That made me mad.
Yeah. And then this is what he says. He thought DC was everything. I thought DC was everything and I was wrong. You're everything. I love you and I'm not going to stop loving you. Meredith, I can't live without you. I don't want to live without you. And I'm going to do everything in my power to prove it. And then Meredith responds with, I can live without you, but I don't want to. I don't ever want to. which is like a really beautiful sentiment. And I'm like, yay, mayor, like female empowerment. But like what is frustrating to me is like by him calling Post-it after he just said that he like cheated, I feel like is really manipulative.
Yeah.
Right?
That speech would have been everything, I think would have been great without that line. You can't just like call something and then it be okay. I mean, I guess in Post-it, they had said no running, I remember. And that comes up with the Amelia conversation. I wish the writing had done it. I wonder if they went back and forth. Like, do we have Derek actually kiss this girl or just get really close? Like, I almost wish he had just gotten really close and then pushed her away. The fact that, I mean, he made out with her, you know what I mean? It's not like he was just standing there limp armed, you know, like,
right.
And so I just wonder what their choice was to do that. It just feels spoiler alert, we only have three more episodes with Derek, technically two. And then, you know, whatever, like, I don't feel like that's enough time for us to like get over this. Like, I feel like it could have done something where he sees a moment how it could end up, but then he doesn't do it. It's frustrating that he actually did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think like with the kissing thing, like I don't know, it's frustrating because he clearly participated. And like you said, and I guess we could talk this to death and in circles, but like, I mean, if you participate in that, like you made a choice and it just seems so fast that they're like, well, it's okay. We can move past this. And I don't know, maybe some people really do in that moment choose to be like, you were across the country and we'll move on from it. But I think it's really interesting too, though, when she says, I can live without you, but I don't want to, I don't ever want to, at like right after that, the monologue says, just because we can live without something doesn't mean we have to.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good like monologue tie in there. It's also, I mean, I guess writing wise, the reason they put this whole storyline is to show us as viewers that Meredith can live without Derek and that like she just said, she's choosing to, but she is capable of being without him. So that maybe that we don't worry about her as much, or we like get used to this idea of her not needing him, you know? I also feel like, and I'm just gonna, I know I'm skipping, but I think it can be talked about with this a little bit too. Like we also get a little glimpse into like the people that will keep her together, like Alex, you know, stepping up and being her friend, even when she's being an asshole to him, like he knows the difference and like forces her into that friendship hug, which like, I just love that moment so much. And like, I think it's kind of setting all of us up for like, Meredith will be okay. You as viewers will be okay. Like, you know, there, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it will suck to have Derek gone, but we can, it's almost like the show is saying, you know, we don't want to live without you, Derek, but we totally can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, isn't that the best type of love too, when it is a choice? You know,
oh, like, yeah, for sure.
You know, not like, oh my God, I can't live without you. But knowing like, no, I've lived my whole life without you. And then you came in and then you left again and I can do it, but I don't want to. That becomes right. Like an even more powerful type of love, I think, when it becomes a choice. I also think it's interesting too, that like when Derek comes back is when Meredith's streak ends.
Yeah, I know. And I think, yeah, that was hard for her. I think she couldn't even tell that patient, Danny, I think his name was, his wife that he passed away, or sister. I can't remember if it was a sister or wife. Like she can't even say it. Like, I think that that was like, it was a lot for her, you know?
Yeah. Because I think she's reflecting on like, who am I without Derek? Who am I with Derek? You know, this would be an opportunity for her to be like, fuck you, I'm out. Because of what you did. So I think she's really grappling with that. And then when Karev gives her a hug, I'm kind of tying this into it, but
yeah,
like,
let's just do it.
And she's like, stop like hugging me. I'm mad at you. And he's like, I love that Karev can recognize like, no, you're not. You're not mad at me. You're mad at Derek. And I think to the point that you said, like, we're as viewers being shown, like, there are other people in her life that will understand her and get her. Like, Christina's gone, her person's gone. How is she going to make it when her person's gone and Derek is gone? It's like there are other people who understand her.
Yep.
And her, like, dark and twisty self.
I loved that Alex says, and I didn't get the whole quote, but he's like, you want to take out on me? That's fine. You want to be a mess? Be a mess. I can take it. But in that OR, you are not a mess. You didn't do this. You didn't kill that kid. So keep it together. And then she like gives into the hug. But I love, there's that great Alex montage. I always speak about it when he's like, you want to take it out on me? That's fine. You want to be a mess? Be a mess. Like, I just love that like line. Just sticking with the Derek thing, in the next episode, I did think this was a very funny starter. Meredith is talking to Maggie and it's like talking about how she hates those people that say like, I am blessed. And like, and she describes them and then she's like, I am one of them. She's like, I have everything I've ever wanted. I am just so blessed. And she talks about how like, she even like, the only thing that isn't going right is that she doesn't have sleep, but it's because she's having really good sex. And Maggie's just like, I hate you. Like, I love Meredith like owning up to the fact that she's like, I am annoying the shit out of myself right now.
It is really sad though, too, that like this is like the last time
she's gonna feel that way.
Yeah, I think I was watching with my sister Catherine. She was like, Don't worry, Meredith. It will all go away soon. Like, you won't feel blessed very soon.
It's sad that Mare makes the choice that she wants to choose to be with him, and then he gets fucking taken away. Like, that makes it all the more cruel. And so Derek wants to come back full time. It has to be approved by Amelia, which is like a hurdle for him, especially because the way he treated her. Another thing I noticed too is like he has a moment with Owen, which I feel like we need to start paying attention to. Are there any like subtle goodbyes, you know, like last character interactions? Because I have to think that every time he interacts with a character, like for the last time before he ever does again, it will mean something. I don't think this is the last time he interacts with Owen, but he's like, we should go fishing. Like, do you? And Owen's like, I don't know. And he's like, you should. And he's like, we will. And I was like, all these promises that Derek's never going to keep. Like, they're never going to go fishing. And I just wondered, like, he's being really optimistic about the future, which is always a bad sign in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, for sure.
Even because that little girl from the field trip who gets lost and is up sitting in the gallery and says she wants to be a surgeon, he says to her, it feels good, doesn't it? Knowing what you want to do next.
Oh my God. And he just like wants to be with his family and like be a neurosurgeon. Which he comes back to work and he has to be approved. So he asks Owen, like, can I work here? And he was like, yeah, I mean, but it has to be approved or whatever. And he's like, what do you mean approved? Like, I'm on the board. I'm this, that. And he was like, it has to be approved by Amelia because she is like the head of neuro now.
Right.
And so Derek has to go and ask Amelia if he can work under her. And like, he's not going to try and steal her job. He's not going to pull any of that shit anymore. He just wants to work.
Clip aneurysms.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about
their talk outside?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Amelia's sitting outside at their gorgeous house, which she makes a comment that the reason she's out there is because their reuniting has been loud. And what does she say? Like, she makes a comment about how their like has been aggressive and like loud, which means like sex, I feel like. He says to her, he's like, are you okay? And she's like, what? And he's like, there was a robbery, two shootings, and you declared two men dead. I kept thinking about Dad. I wanted to know if you were okay. And then she says to him, these are just like paraphrasing things. She says, I'm happy for you that you're back. You're making it work. You're not running. I am not judging, but we are runners. She says, I think after Dad, when something scares us, we sprint as fast as we can, but you turned around this time. And then I love they mention their mom. Derek like talked to his mom and she told him to get it together and said, take a good hard look at your life. If it's not working, shut up and fix it. Which like, I love that we do meet his mom even more later on, like in some of my favorite scenes. And he says to her, he calls her Amy. He's like, Amy, I've been missing out on everything in my life. And he says some other things. And I love when he says, when did that stop being enough? Saving someone's life, that's more than enough. Which I do love that whole sentiment that he's like, I have a wife, I have beautiful kids, I am a neurosurgeon, I save lives. Like, he says something about like changing the world and that he'd realized that he doesn't need to change the world anymore, which I feel like is refreshing. And in another alternate reality where Derek wouldn't have died later in the show, I think that this like refreshed Derek would have been really pleasant to have on the show, because what we hated about him was his like narcissism and like this constant need to be like better than everyone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a bummer that he finally goes to therapy and then dies.
Not to like I'm not comparing you to Derek Shepherd, but like,
you can do it. He might be an Enneagram one. We're unsure over here.
No, but just like that whole idea of like, when did that stop becoming enough? And I feel like maybe in like your photography work, like you had to go through a process of being like, photographing weddings is enough, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I don't need to be the most, I used to like, you know, you want to speak at every event. You want to be like, have the most followers. You want to shoot the coolest weddings, travel for them. And now I'm like, fuck that. I just want nice people and I want to sleep in my own bed at night. Like, I don't care about the wedding as much as I used to, you know, like, so I do, that is a good relation for sure.
Yeah. And just like understanding like the important things in your life. And if something like, I love too, going back to what his mom said, like, if something's not working in your life, change it. And he did months ago. He was like super upset with Meredith. They were on the rocks. They were on the verge of ending their marriage. And he was like, well, I'm going to DC and I'm going to change the face of medicine. And then like that didn't do it for him. So like,
right. Right.
Recognizing it's like, what's I like when actually people who important.
Are, yeah, for sure. I love when people who are famous talk about on pod. I feel like the only podcasts I listen to are famous people talking to other famous people. And, but they talk about how, you know, I think Dak says it a lot too. Like, you know, I thought if I had the money and the fame, then I would, all the other things would be solved. And obviously that's not true. Like the problems that you have, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with the things you're doing. You know, like you have to fix that for yourself. And so I feel like Derek finally hit the top of the pyramid and still had, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't enough for him. And so he just realized that there are more important things. And I don't know, I feel like I didn't say that right, but it made sense in my head.
No, that I think that makes perfect sense. And I think going back to like what you were saying, like some of these last interactions he has with characters on the show before he dies, I think it's really important that he has this nice moment with Amelia, because like they have had, you know, bent down each other's throats. And like when he left, like I don't think they were really on good terms. So it's nice that like they're trying to, I feel like, even though they're killing Derek, they're trying to like round out some of these relationships. So like we as viewers aren't like left with unfinished business.
Agreed. All right. I feel like that wraps up Derek.
Yeah.
And the podcast. Good.
Yeah. Have a good night, everyone.
Let's talk quick about Amelia and Owen. There wasn't a lot, but there definitely was something. I'm going to bitch for a second. I don't think they have any chemistry. I don't like, you know, her being like, oh, last night's agenda was unfinished. I think you need a follow-up. Like, you know, like, and then, you know, it ends with them in the trailer making out again. But like, I just don't, it doesn't do anything for me. I do not see it at all.
No, I totally agree. I don't think it's a good fit. Like, they need a follow-up to fuck. It was my note about it. Like, it's just like, oh, whatever. I don't know. And then at the very end, when she's like, I think I'm falling in love with Owen Hunt. I'm like, are you? Why? Like,
yeah. And it's going to destroy me.
Like, what are you falling in love with? You guys are like, what? I just don't get it. What are you talking about?
All they're doing is like, even in the first one, you know, she was all on his mom's side, which we'll talk about the mom storyline in post-op. But then, you know, she calls him a jackass because he was mean to her about it. And then he's like, I'm not good at surprises. And she's like, me either. We should work on that. Like, is that in love? I don't, there has to be more than aggressive makeouts and both having the same character flaws.
No, that's love, Abby. That's love.
Okay. So you're both messed up in the same way. That makes sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I don't know. I just don't see it, and we'll see how that all goes out, but they are still making out, and you know, she's going to be destroyed by him apparently. So moving on, I have nothing to say about them. Do you?
No, I really don't. Under really, Edwards. Truly, these episodes, I like don't have much to say about. Okay, let's talk about Stephanie Edwards.
Yeah. I don't know why. She can't get trauma hours?
Well, first of all, before that, it's funny to me, like, seeing her in the elevator on, like, what I would assume would be Tinder, because I have a friend right now who's on a bunch of dating apps, and I love to go on her phone and, like, swipe for her. Because I'm not doing it. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm getting married. So it's like, it's very fun. Or like looking and like at her conversations. She lets me do this. I'm not like stealing her phone. But like looking at her conversations and like witty banter and like trying to help her make like dating profiles and stuff. I mean, I feel absolutely horrible. I would not want to be doing that. I did that many years ago. My heart goes out to anyone who has to date on the apps because it sounds very stressful. But it was funny to watch Stephanie do that like so quickly, like swipe left on people in the, and like Joe kind of is giving her shit. Like, you're barely even looking, you know? And she's like, you just get really good at this, like weeding out the bad ones.
Yeah, it's fun to watch that for sure.
Yeah. And then, yeah, she needs trauma hours, but like can't get them somehow, which I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't know what the point of that part is. The only thing I loved about that storyline is that, you know, she tries to pay off Ben to get access to that one trauma. And then later Bailey, and she kind of like, Ben thinks she's flirting, which she's not. And she offers $50. And then Bailey comes and sits by her in the gallery and talks to her about bribery. And at first you think that she's just going to be mad at her for trying to bribe her way in. And then she's really just mad that she only offered $50. She's like, back in my day, like that would go for this. Plus you add in inflation, like you're looking at 175 minimum. And like, I just thought that moment was so funny because Bailey was not mad at her about bribing. She was mad at such a lowball offer.
I love when Bailey surprises us like that.
Oh, love it too. It's honestly the best parts when that happens in the show. So then in the next episode, she ends up helping this chaperone help find the students. And she spends a lot of time with him in and around the hospital looking for the missing girl. And she's like telling Joe about him. And I think like kind of convinces her that she should ask him out. And so she finally like gets the nerve to, and first he says like, oh, but I can't drink. And I think she's just like, oh, that's fine. Like she's thinking like, maybe he's an alcoholic. That's at least what I thought. And then it hit me. And then when she asked him another time, he's like, oh, I would, but I have to go to my like junior prom. And she's like, oh my God, you chaperone high school events too? And he's like, no, like I go to it. And he's only 17. And it cuts to that scene in the bar where she must be telling Joe this. And I love Joe's laugh. It's like just maniacal.
I love it too. And I love that this guy, like when Steph asks, he's like, oh my God, you want to hang out more too? And she's like, yeah. Like, and he's super excited about it because at 17, you would be, if a doctor was asking you out for coffee, you'd be like, absolutely, I want to hang out more. Yeah. And I just love that Steph is just downing shots and she's like, I'm going to need more of these.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so embarrassing.
Oh God, her dating life is not going well.
I have a similar moment, but way less embarrassing, this was like way early in my career. I think this was like 2013 and I was shooting this wedding and I needed a second shooter and someone recommended this guy. He lives in Detroit. I'm just not going to say names or whatever. And, he's a friend of mine and he had this really amazing website, like much better than mine, like just like a very like professional looking website, whatever. And I mean, he had a beard, so you know, you just assume someone is older. And I was like really nervous, but I asked him if he would second shoot. And like, you know, like I'm the boss, he's working for me that day. So he shows up, we're like having a really good time, but I was always like kind of nervous around him just because I thought in my head that he had been doing it a lot longer than me. Like I just, because of his website and his beard, I just assumed he was older and much more experienced and I was nervous. And we're at the reception. So it's like been the entire day. And I make this comment about like, are you going to WPPI, which was used to be this big event in Vegas that everyone would go to for wedding photographers. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, yay. And I was like, are you so excited? He's like, yeah, he said something about like, but he can't drink yet. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, he was like 19 years old. Granted, I think I was like 24 or 25, but still, like when I was thinking, oh, he was like 32 and like really experienced, and he was 19. Instantly I was like, oh, I am so much better than you. Like my brain, not like really, but I was just like, why the fuck was I so nervous? So anyways, I felt like, Stephanie, I'm just glad I didn't ask him out.
Yeah, it is really funny. We have like some patients in the office that come in sometimes, and never I'm like, oh my God, I'm so much better than you. But sometimes they'll come in and I'll be like, oh wow, they're like, they have kids or something. And I'm like, they are like older than me and they're like kind of mocking me a little bit. And they'll be like 24. And I'm like, I am 30 years old. Like, why do I feel intimidated by this 24-year-old right now?
Because their lives look so put together.
I know. They'll be like, my husband does this like software whatever thing. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm just getting my life together.
Anytime, yeah, it's a career that I don't also know what it means, I'm just like, oh my God, I don't know what to ask next. Like, yeah. If your career isn't like like fireman, like anything in a children's book, I don't know what you do.
Oh yeah, I know. Anytime it has anything to do or like financial something or other, you're
So, consulting, anything to do in ad sales.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're selling ads in a newspaper anymore. They're like selling online space, which I still don't quite grasp.
Yeah. Like, how do you do that? Where do you get your money from? How does any of that work? I still don't understand how people get money from sponsors on a podcast. Like, what the fuck?
I know. If we have a listener, just putting it out there, that is like really good at that stuff. And I mean, like, I think we have enough listeners to freaking get some ads. Like, give me a Casper mattress. Like you said, HelloFresh. I actually pay for HelloFresh every week. Like, I would love, like, we need sponsors. So if you are someone that as a passion project, you would like to help us, I'm just going to straight up ask for it. Please, we need your help. And we have no money to give you because we barely make ends meet. But
we have
sponsors. What'd you say?
We have enough listeners to have sponsors. It's just funny to be like, we barely make ends meet, but we're definitely at the level that we should have sponsors.
Yeah, like we're just wasting our audio space.
Yeah, I don't know. All of that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
What if they're making like $1,000 an episode by just like talking about HelloFresh? I'll talk about spicy meatballs all you want.
Yeah. See, that's what I don't understand about sponsors. Like, do people have to buy it or just by
use your code?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's probably multiple options. I would like the kind where they just pay me to talk about it.
Yeah. Because I feel like if you're like a Dax Shepherd, you just get paid for like talking about it.
Yeah. If you're like if you are a small business and you want to pay us to talk about something that you, we will do it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. If you have a thing, we'll do it.
The only thing we've ever gotten is that wine opener. Do you remember?
Oh yeah. I do remember. You have that, right?
Yeah, I do.
That's fine.
Okay. Where the fuck were we talking about? We finished Stephanie, right? Yeah. So then we were going to talk about the parasite. As soon as that chick said she had headache and the bloody nose that sucks back in, I was like, oh, fuck this episode.
Yeah. Like, turns out, spoiler alert, it's a fucking leech. But I don't even know how to talk about it because it makes me want to vomit everywhere.
I guess I just wanted to say it's disgusting. I love when the girl slaps Joe because it like hurts. Also, I'm just so afraid of that, like of something living in my sinuses. And the way when she tries to pull it, it doesn't want to come out.
I also love that, like, April talks about, like, yeah, I understand that you're scared. Like, it's scared too. It's found its home or whatever, but, like, it's going to get hungry and it's going to start eating your sinuses, and then it's going to make its way to your brain. And then it's like going to, and she says these super scary things in a really kind tone that makes her be like, get it out of me right now.
Yeah. Like, I think that I would pay whatever, even if insurance didn't cover it. I would somehow, even if I had to go bankrupt, like, give me anesthesia.
That's
to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Cause I can't, the trauma of that is too much for me. And I can barely get when I got my IUD in, it was almost too traumatic. I can't imagine a live something in my nose sinus. Like, that's two Stranger Things, you know? It's like too much like Stranger Things.
Oh, dude, speaking of Stranger Things, there was a point in this episode where there was music that sounded like Stranger Things music.
Probably when The Parasite was coming out.
It might have been, or it might have been in regards to Owen's mom and like the head laceration thing.
Yes.
I don't know, but that's funny you say that because I have a note about that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want things up my nose. Like, what to learn from Grey's Anatomy, and I don't mean this like in an offensive way, but it's like if you go to any other country that like, even the United States. Like, it's like, if you are living somewhere and you go to another country, just don't do anything. Don't eat, don't swim, just don't participate in anything, because you will get a fish up your penis or you will get a leech up your nose. And that's just what I've learned.
I said that because, like, I've had a few COVID tests, and I said, if a COVID test is bad, when Joe is like, with that camera up her nasal cavity, that girl would be in so much, her eyes would be watering. Like, she was up there for a while. COVID test is like, what, 5 seconds in each nose? And like, that is already feels like it's too much.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
So anyways, okay. And the last thing just I wanted to hit on, because I think it's important, is just that Jackson is really pushing the plastics posse. He tries to get Ben to say it again in front of the kids who are on the field trip. And that's really the only part in the beginning. And then at the very end, he is doing surgery on the faces and like the bodies of the policemen who were killed, and so that when the mother sees them for the last time, they look better than how they did before. And he's talking to April, and he says that this is something that Sloan would have done, and that Mark Sloan passed everything on to him, and that he wants to pass his knowledge on to someone the way he did for him. It's a really sweet moment. Spoiler alert, I'm just sorry, but there is a thing in the notes and trivia that says that there was, like, in an episode called Yesterday, Mark does do this for a patient, like sits in the OR room and like sews a patient up after they've already passed. So it's just a sweet little moment, a good throwback to Mark. Another sort of like, Derek's about to leave, like a little mention of Mark. I feel like no one really gets passed on plastics, because even in current Grey's, like, Jackson is still there, but Ben is no longer a surgeon. So is it just Jackson? Is he alone in the plastics posse?
I think so. Also, the plastics posse, this is really fun, that, like, I don't know, when he tries to get like Ben to say it and he like won't, and then Jackson like under his breath is like, plastics posse. Like, it's very funny.
It's very funny. I love
Speaking
it.
Of
I just
six
want
surgeons. This is very interesting to me. I found out, and any doctors out there can maybe like tell me that I'm wrong, but like, someone that I know met someone who is like a nurse, something or other, and was talking about Grey's Anatomy and plastic surgeons. And so they start out as general surgeons, and then they specialize, and they then become hand surgeons. Mm. And then they go into plastic surgery. And a big part, because remember how I was like, a lot of stuff they do is on like hands and stuff in this show. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They're plastic surgeons. But that's actually part of their like rounds. It's like,
interesting.
Yeah. And then they do like, most of what they do is actually like, I guess in hospital, which makes sense, is like wounds.
That makes sense, because I feel so, I mean, plastic surgery, other than things that like after you're a burn victim or things like that, like it's elective surgery, you know?
Right.
So that makes sense though. Like hands, wounds, you know, fixing lacerations and shit.
Yeah. So there you
go. That's cool. I think that'd be a really cool little channel of the job. I don't know why. I just think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Supposedly,
it feels like, creative. It feels like artsy.
Yeah. Supposedly, hand surgery is like one of the hardest surgeries because you have so much shit in your hand, you know? So much shit there.
Yeah. To think about. So that was it on our topics. I just want to say, like, the police officer storyline, devastating for that mom. It just did, like I said, it didn't really drive the story forward. And also, Jake at one point, because Jake's been watching these with me, he was just like, betcha the police officers donate their organs to that kid. And then I was like, oh, you're right.
he called it.
I just kind of thought of something though. So you know how they talk about the boy, the chief is talking about the boy who was the shooter, and he says, you know, we put him into juvie in the foster system. He was smart, funny, susceptible to bad things and bad choices. This is his breaking point or something. He says something about like, this is his moment, like to make a change or whatever. I wonder if like, this is probably drawing too deep, but like, was Derek kissing that woman like his moment? Like he could either go down the bad path and cheat on Meredith more and like ruin what he has, or do the bad thing and choose to pivot.
Oh, that's really good. I like that.
Do we like that? Doesn't that seem now that kind of fits?
Yeah, I think that does. Really impressed.
Like he just had to be given a chance. But and Meredith gave him one, you know?
Yeah. I like that.
Anyways. Callie also gets asked out on a date by the chief. And she says,
not yes, Richard.
The police chief. And she just kind of is like, you have to come back in 10 days. So it's like not a no, but not a yes. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going with that. But other than that, I mean, I really don't feel like there was much more in these episodes.
Nope, I don't either. So again, remember, if you're listening on the Patreon app, stick around. We'll talk about Owen's mom, Evelyn Hunt. But for now, let's do notes and trivia. This episode's title originated from the song With or Without You, originally sung by U2.
If you want the extended version of me singing it, please join Patreon. Just kidding.
You'll record it?
Yeah. This episode scored 8.18 million viewers.
Filming for this episode was scheduled from February 5th to February 19th, 2015.
The episode marks the first one of season 11 not to feature Arizona.
This episode starts the morning after the previous episode.
Next one. This episode's title originated from the song When I Grow Up, originally sung by the Pussycat Dolls.
I want to be famous. I want to be a star when I grow up. I want to... You know that song?
Yeah, but it's just weird to hear Pussycat Dolls.
I want to be in movies. I want to drive cars when I grow up. MTV is such a funny song. This episode scored 6.64 million viewers.
Filming was scheduled from February 18th to February 27th, 2015.
And as I said, while Jackson's making Brett and Pete's bodies look better for their mother, he mentions that it is something Mark would have done. Mark was shown doing it on Jake Burton in the episode Yesterday. Catherine Fox, I want to definitely go with your choice, but I just wanted to say I couldn't think of one. And Jake said the cops that gave their organs to save all those people, because there was like 100 some people who got their organs.
Which seems like a great one. But yeah. I chose Alex for recognizing that Mare isn't mad at him, but mad at Derek and forcing a friend hug.
Agreed. Love it. We need to give it to Alex.
Yeah. I rated it 6 out of 10 scalpels.
Same. I mean, like the Derek speech with Amelia was good, but other than that, I didn't care about anything.
Yeah, same.
But somehow we talked about it for an hour.
Yeah. Well, 20 of those minutes were us just talking about nothing. So
I really already did the subtraction. I already did the subtraction of our time. We talked about it for about an hour.
Okay. All right. Well, so, you know what? Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here tonight. And once again, if you're a $10 patron, keep listening after we call Time of Death. Otherwise, these next episodes coming in hot with Derek. They're our last ones.
Yep. And if you are in the Facebook group, I would love to hear some like thoughts on Derek. Just things I feel like, I can't all of a sudden believe that this is the end of him. Like, what, he's like an iconic character of the show, like truly. And I just feel sometimes I'm like, wait, we talked about Christina for so long, rightly so. She's a queen. But I'm like, shit, we got to appreciate the fact that Derek is leaving. If you have strong feelings about him, please, if you're a patron, call in, leave a voicemail. You can email us at theoncallroom@gmail.com. If you want us to do a Derek episode, let us know. I don't know. Give us your thoughts. So, but on that note, time of death is 2014.